You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Welcome to Guys Who Like Musicals.
Welcome to Guys Who Like Musicals.
Dan lives in Colorado now.
I do.
And Joe hates camping. That's the update.
Well, I should say I'm visiting Colorado now. I don't like officially live here, you know.
You're never coming back. You've become a man of the mountains.
I wish. No, we don't quite live in the mountains, but who knew that Boulder was surrounded by mountains?
I knew. I think a lot of people.
Well, you did because you'd been here, but I hadn't been here. It's like we're in some European mountain town with, like, you know, aside from all of the students who don't like wearing masks, assholes,
yeah.
It's pretty much the most amazing place I've ever visited. And I wish that we had a job that we could do anywhere.
Yeah. We have a podcast.
We have a podcast, so yeah, if you share this with your friends, maybe we could do this anywhere, but
yeah,
you know, the fact that we have to live in New York to do Broadway is starting to become very difficult for me. The quality of life here is pretty sick.
It is. We just got back to New York yesterday, and it is nice, though, because, like, we're in the Midwest, and it still feels very cavalier, all of the wearing masks and stuff, and then you come back to New York, and every single person is wearing a mask, at least in our neighborhood. And the people who aren't are the people who are, like, you know, people are yelling across, you know, put your mask on, you know,
people are not getting
on elevators at the same time if they're not wearing masks. Like, people are taking it seriously here, which is nice. I mean, I love Colorado, so maybe I'll just come and live in your basement.
Yeah, well, it's not my basement. I think I'm going to be living in Julie's sister's basement, frankly. So
that's okay.
Maybe even without Julie, she might just stick me down there.
just put you in the basement.
Yeah, no, I mean, Colorado is, like, mostly taking it seriously, you know? This is, like, a very progressive place. So people, I think, are, like, on top of that. But, you know, like, I don't know. You see people wearing the masks in New York, and it's like, that's why the cases are down. It's not a mystery.
Right. Exactly.
It's not a mystery.
Have you watched Hamilton yet?
No.
Neither have I. Does that make us a bad Broadway podcast? Because that's the only piece of theatrical news that's actually happened, and we haven't done it yet.
Yeah, it might. I mean, I saw it live.
I saw it live too.
I
think that's why
right.
I'm kind of like, maybe I don't need to.
No, I'm definitely right. I'm definitely gonna watch it for sure.
Yeah, I know. Alex
and yeah,
and
we probably should,
like,
talk about it.
Yeah, we got to watch it and then we'll talk about it because we have a new segment coming next week that we've been developing that we're really excited about. And so the show is going to take a little bit of a turn.
We're going to kind of pivot the idea of the show
In a good way that we think, and we'll explain that more next week. More audience interaction and frankly, just more happy. Less talk about the coronavirus, more talk about happy.
Yeah.
Happy Broadway, happy.
Exactly.
Yeah, the other thing that happened in my life the last week, man, I don't know if we're campers. You and Julie are like an REI ad, like driving across the country, like using your camping stove in
honestly,
you know, parks.
If I could live out of like living out of a backpack in the woods doesn't sound scary to me. Like, something about living out of a backpack in the woods for 5 days is the most restorative, like, return to what makes me human thing I can experience. And you guys car camped and you didn't even like it.
No, the car camping thing, I've backpacked before and I love backpacking. That is like the true mountain man, you know, really difficult experience. We car camped for 3 days and a couple of highlights. One, I burned the shit out of my hand on a s'more stick, of all things. It wasn't even something that was, like, helping us really.
LOL.
I just picked up. I put a s'more stick in the fire to try to sanitize it, and I burned the shit out of my hand.
To sanitize it.
You know, you know what I mean? So that was one thing. We bought a camping pan, you know, one of those things that, like, fold into itself.
Yep.
And
destroyed
that
it.
Melted. Totally melted.
Yep. Definitely not meant for, like, fire.
Yep. Then the big highlight was the third night we were going to our third campsite in Alex's brother's 2009 Toyota Camry up a dirt hill in a deluge rainstorm, and we got stuck in the mud, and we had like 15 more miles to go on this dirt road towards this campsite, and we just turned around and basically quit in the middle of a rainstorm in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. It was kind of it was really scary, actually.
Yeah, that sounds like you shouldn't have been camping in a rainstorm. You know, like that's not you wouldn't catch me in a rainstorm camping.
Yeah, we needed like a, you know, like a friggin' Jeep Wrangler or something, and we like the tires were spinning and we couldn't get up the hill, and then we're like, you know what, we're done, we're going. We need a shower. So we might not be campers, and now we have like $500 worth of camping gear that's in our apartment.
Classic.
So that's what's going on here. Just trying to stay sane. But yeah, just take me to the Four Seasons, I guess. That's just
rack up those points, baby.
Rack up the points, even though, you know, there's no money and there's no income. So anyway, all's well. We made it through the camping trip. We're back with Wi-Fi. The show is back. We're going in a new direction. We're continuing to celebrate our 1 year. With this is my favorite combo. We did a combo episode this week. This is Max Clayton and Robin Herder. They're best friends. They love each other. We interviewed both of them. So we slammed it all together. And you know what? We make fun of me on this show a lot because I'm horrible with technology, but this is a pretty good edit. I'm pretty proud of this. We go back and forth between, like, you know, he talks, she talks. You know, you can do that when you edit. Like, you can actually cut and then you can put it together. So it seems, you know, like, you know how that works.
It's almost like there are two people talking. Wow. That's really interesting. I don't think I've ever done that.
Yeah. I don't think you've ever done it either, or created, this show's entire, digital footprint. So it's really fun. These two are just like, we wanted to bring you guys something joyful this week. These two are just hilarious. And so we thought we'd put them together and also, you know, a little throwback to Moulin Rouge and, you know, how desperate we are for all of this stuff to return. But, you know, in the meantime, we're just going to try to bring some more fun stuff. And so next week, no, we're really excited about next week. We've been doing a lot of work.
Stay tuned for something new.
Yeah, I love it. So here's thing one and thing two, Looney Tune one and Looney Tune two, Max Clayton and Robin Herder.
So an actor is saying his lines and then out of nowhere, he just starts singing.
5, 6, 7, 8.
The hills are alive with the sound of Jimmy. Don't cry for me.
Max is here, and I've never been more excited for a first question. I've been thinking about this first question.
I'm really nervous.
I knew that you were coming on, and I see you squirming, and you don't have to squirm. But this is my question: what do you love about food?
What do I love about food?
What do you love about food?
I love how food makes me feel.
Yes.
This sounds like a drug advertisement. It's not. I love how food makes me feel before I eat it. I love how food makes me feel while I'm eating it and tasting it, and I know you know this, and I love how food makes me feel after the fact.
Okay, I'm confused. I feel like I need some context.
Okay, so
we love food.
We love food. Like, what is that ensemble like? And I kind of know, but I want to hear from you. Like, what's going on during Bad Romance, and what's going on like during the whole Shut Up and Dance With Me sequence, where it's just a bunch of chaos and so much of like sexy guys in top hats and a bunch of half naked women running around. Like, what are you guys doing?
I mean, we're first and foremost doing what we're like supposed to be doing, quote unquote.
Right.
And then
the choreography.
There's so much freedom and like wild chaos that we are allowed to do under a certain umbrella, I guess.
Yeah.
And I think that it's one of the most fun shows I've ever done in the ensemble because there's no boundaries, there's no limits, there's no rules. For instance, yes, there are patrons in top hats and girls in no clothing, but there's no rules that say the patrons can't be with more patrons and like get, can be male on male contact, female on female contact. And that's so much fun and so freeing. And I've never been able to do that. because if I'm in a classic show, like that would be forbidden.
Right.
But in a show like Moulin Rouge, it's all bets are off and we just have such an insane time. And we all like have so many secrets with each other, which just make it so much fun.
Right.
This is one of my favorite audition stories because I didn't know Andy. I obviously knew who he was.
Right.
I had been doing On the Town and we got our closing notice and my agent calls that same day and was like, hey, so there's this new musical called Bandstand. Andy Blankenbuehler is directing and choreographing and they just lost someone from their lab or whatever they had workshop, whatever they had been doing beforehand. And they're going to Paper Mill and they really need one specific slot, needs to be a swing dancer, blah, 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 blah. I was like, I love swing dancing. I used to do it with my sister, Missy. Like, this is perfect. I want to go in. They're like, okay, but it's going to be last minute sort of a situation. So just meet Andy at Pearl between shows tomorrow. And I'm like, all right. So I go to Pearl Studios.
Just meet Andy.
Meet Andy at Pearl.
Okay.
This Andy is my blanket
mirror. Yeah,
this is my audition. And I'm like, all right. Is this a work session? I don't know. So I get there and it's Lindsay Levine from casting, mm-hmm. Andy Blankenbuehler. And myself. And I'm like, hey guys. And like, is this the audition? Like, where is everyone?
Oh my God.
And he's like, yeah, I just want to like teach you a bunch of combinations and, you know, work with you and see how this all goes. And yeah, it's going to be like nice and easy and chill. For an hour and a half, I learned pretty much all of the Bandstand material with Sir Blankenbuehler himself.
Whoa.
It was the greatest masterclass I've ever had. And it was private one-on-one.
Wow.
I learned all of Nobody, which they didn't even have music to yet because there was no music. You know, there was like a little instrumental something, what is it called? MIDI file?
Oh, like a MIDI, yeah, like from Sibelius or something. It's like
And myself and him. And I learned tons of combinations, a little like soft shoe and swing and Fosse stuff. And after he's like, great, do you want to sing your song? And so I went and there was a pianist and I sang my audition song. And they're like, thank you so much. And then I left and they're like, yeah, you got it. And you'll start with the cast whenever we started for Paper Mill.
Yeah.
So that's sort of how I met Andy. And then I always think about how much I owe to him because it was Bandstand that really made me feel like I was a part of this community in a different sense than I had been with Gigi and On the Town at the time.
Like the Broadway community.
Broadway community. Yeah. And he was such a mentor to me and really helped me like build confidence in a way as a dancer that I didn't know. Because I didn't grow up dancing.
Yeah.
So I started late. I grew up doing shows with, you know, the theater at home, but I never took class. And every time I'm in a room with him, it's a full masterclass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How?
He can teach in a way no one else can. And it's, I think, partly because he himself can do exactly what he is telling you to do. It's not like he's saying, and the arm goes there, and yeah, and he's fixing you as if you're like a piece of clay. Excuse me. He literally can do his own choreography better than anybody else. So he is this perfect role model and what am I trying to say?
Yeah, no, you're saying it. Yeah, like he's up there doing it.
He's up there doing it with more swag and style than any of us could dream of.
Yeah.
And what a better way to learn from somebody.
Wow.
Right.
And like to get to, like, that's one of those things. Did you ever think about how he's already amongst the gods of choreography, right? That like, you're going to tell those stories about working with him the same way that, like...
I know. You know. And I don't even really think I know that yet. But I do know that. But I don't think I realize in what capacity yet, which would be really cool in, like, 20 years.
Of course.
To tell my child, maybe, my whoever, be like, that's... I worked with him very closely.
Yeah, here's a picture of me standing behind him. Like, were there any of those lightning bolt moments where, like, he's teaching... you know, something, whether it was for Broadway or for Paper Mill, in that private dance session where like you were like, oh my God, like he just did this incredibly cool thing and I'm trying to do this incredibly, I'm trying to mimic him.
Yes,
you know what I mean? Like
there was
a moment?
And it was, I will never forget it. And there's actually a photo of it, which I'm so happy about. And I have awesome. To find it. It was during tech or previews of Bandstand when he was going to add this pas de deux with a soldier coming home and his wife waiting for him. He comes on stage, he drops the bag, and there's this amazing Andy Blankenbuehler thing that we didn't even know what it was going to be yet. And he's on stage with me. I'm in full costume, full lights, full tech, full everything. David Corns is like fixing something. And he's teaching it to me on the spot. I'm like, oh my God, like, what's happening?
Where am I?
Where am I? And someone snapped a picture from the back of the house and I have it. So I'm grateful for that. Socks are just...
I think we can't talk about the Red Sox game that we went to when we were in Boston. I think that's a story. That's a story for another time, for a different podcast at a different time. But actually, that's a really great transition to Robin Herder. We could talk about Robin Herder. But what does Max Clayton mean to you? That's my first question. We had him on the show a couple of weeks ago.
I know. He told me. Max Clayton to me is my... There's so many things I could say right now. When I first think about him, he's my happiness. He's my savior. I'm about to, because I've had two drinks and I miss him so much. I will probably get emotional, but I just miss him so much. He is pure happiness, joy, my spirit, he brings out my true kid self, like my 12-year-old, 14-year-old self. And if he says, Robin, we're going to do this, I'm like, okay, the shit he does to me, and I just let him do it. It's like, I'm like Max's dog, where it's like, he's just going to do shit to me. And I'm like, God, do it. Like, just spray silly string inside my mouth and I'll laugh and just be like, do it again.
Because
you guys just had a love story published in Playbill this week.
So nuts. So now whenever I'm at another show, I'm like, looking at my Playbill, and it's just like, bam! It's just like a huge picture of us.
Exactly. Oh, and all of it came from like you doing lifts.
Yeah.
And like falling out of lifts and being idiots.
Being complete idiots, because she's, you know, one of us.
She's a total Looney Tune. And if you don't know what we're talking about, it's all over Instagram, everyone. So
I mean, Max,
go to, exactly. He has a whole section of his highlights that's just Robin.
You know that he had to make another highlight because he maxed out.
Just pure social media goodness is like the two of you.
She has two highlight reels on my Instagram. Like, you know how you have the little bubble highlights on the top of your page? Yes, she's Robin 1, Robin 2. And they're, it's a great, it's a little, it's really great.
So Hello Dolly, you did before we went to Boston. You were doing it while we were in the lab too? No, wait a minute.
Yes, I did it for 8 weeks, double duty.
Right.
While I was in Hello Dolly.
The Moulin Rouge lab, Hello Dolly at night, double duty.
Yeah.
Then we go to Boston and the closing night party in Boston, the closing night of Moulin Rouge in Boston was a pretty tame night. Everybody was kind of in bed by 8 p.m., had a bunch of tea.
Oh, God.
Yeah. And and that's really good. So what I remember happening was sleeping over at your house, which was this little bungalow in the woods in Cambridge, which was like a little heavenly home in Cambridge. We went to bed at like 6, 8 o'clock in the morning. And then your mother knocked on the door at 7 o'clock in the morning to move you out of that house, to drive you from Boston to New York City, to then do Hello Dolly on Broadway that night.
Correct.
For the first
for the closing week of Hello Dolly.
Closing week of Hello Dolly. I just...
Yeah, that's a real story.
That's a
How
real
did
story.
That happen?
So I got a leave of absence from Hello Dolly.
Oh, okay.
To do Boston.
Got it.
And then right before I left, they announced that they were going to close and blah, 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 month or whatever. And I went to general management and was like, well, that means I only have a week after my leave of absence. Like, is this it for me? And they were so gracious and were like, no, we want you to come back for Beth's final week, which was the greatest gift ever. So I thought, it's all right. My mom's big phrase is rally, rally. She's like, Max, rally, rally, get it done. Like, we got, make it work.
So I just love.
So I did. I went, did my couple months in Boston, which was a dream. Finished closing night, was a mess. and woke up. And actually, this is just bringing me back to food really quickly, because I was pretty much packed, but not all the way packed, and I didn't really sleep. But there's a picture of me in the car ride home with all my crap from Boston. The Hello Dolly CD is playing because I had to like refresh my harmonies and the lyrics that I don't remember anymore. And I have a frozen steak on my forehead as like an ice pack. Just being like, gosh. Oh God, how am I going to do this?
Yep.
Wow. That's Broadway.
That's Broadway. That's Broadway. And that is like, that's what almost, if I was really good with transitions in our interview, I'd say that's what college prepares you for. And how was your experience at Cincinnati? But like, we can, you know,
right.
We're all about the transitions because like, yeah. You know, we don't know how to get from one point to another.
You guys are great.
But we're trying. But yeah, so the Hello Dolly thing, when you did that before Boston,
yeah.
Was that again, just another like audition that came up? Now,
did you open Hello Dolly?
I didn't open Hello Dolly. I jumped into Hello Dolly. So we closed Bandstand and I ran away and did like LA and Vegas, like trip by myself for fun.
Cool.
And I wake up in Vegas to a call from my agent being like, you're starting Hello Dolly tomorrow. And I'm like,
what?
What? They're like, they need someone. They, you know, they hired somebody. It's not going to work out. And they need someone immediately. The company knows you, blah, blah, blah. We need you to come in and start. And I said, but I'm seeing Celine Dion tonight. My agent was like, Max, they're going to fly you in to start Hello Dolly. And I said, I'm seeing Celine Dion at 8. I paid $400 for 8th row center. I'm here for Celine.
Yes.
Can I fly out the next day? I'll call you right back. Pick up the phone. The answer, yes, you'll fly the following day. Enjoy Celine. They're laughing and think you're crazy. So then I see Celine, stay up all night,
get
on the airplane, fly back to Manhattan. And I'm like, have my suitcase and I go right to the Schubert to watch the show for the first time because I hadn't seen it yet. Wow. And that's kind of how I started my Hello Dolly journey. I learned the show and you know how it is. Like, usually you're supposed to get 2 weeks, but I got maybe a week and
wow,
not a put in. But that's just how it goes. That's just how it goes.
Wow.
And I had the greatest time. It's my favorite time replacing, I think, because how can you beat walking behind Bette Midler, Donna Murphy, and Bernadette Peters every night, like doing the famous penguin Legend. Cakewalk
yep.
around right. the passerelle? I was like, this is Broadway.
Yeah, that's
this
Broadway,
moment
for
is
sure.
Broadway. And yeah. I have like vivid. Yeah. Memories of it.
And like also great pictures of like they yeah. took those press photo and
I know,
you are like you're right behind her.
Yeah, it's yeah. pretty crazy. I have that one framed and signed for sure.
Yeah.
Because this is weird.
That's so great. But also like a great lesson in just like the perseverance. Like you have to live your life. You
yes.
have to take your trips. You
right.
have to do
yeah.
things for your soul. And then if your agent happens to call you and be like, hey, you're starting, you know, Broadway called, you're starting tomorrow.
Yeah.
It's like, you know what? That's kind of this business. That's what we signed up for.
I know.
It's insane.
Which
is
what I love. I love yeah. that part of it. The craziness and the uncertainty and the on a whim, you know,
yeah.
they were like, wait, first of all, you're in Vegas? Like, why didn't you tell us? I'm like, I was here for 2 days.
Yeah.
Right.
Celine Dion.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater. SUPS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUPS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUPSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
Was there a moment dance-wise in college where you were like, where it really started to click. Cause like, I don't know if you've ever worked with Kevin Munhall, but he's another one. Like,
oh, yeah.
Kevin also Kevin. Like didn't, like we went to school with him and he really didn't dance until his freshman year in college. Like where it started, even like Will Burton and like these guys, like, yes, like they danced, but like really it was in college. Was there a moment for you where it really clicked, like a class or a teacher or something that you were like, oh, this is, or a show or a style or something where you're like, oh, this is what I,
yeah,
this is my way in, you know?
What's funny is that freshman year, I was like this amazing dancer that walked into the program and I'm like, I'm not a dancer. Uh-huh. But I was put into the top dance classes with all the seniors and they're like, oh, this freshman kid can dance.
Yeah.
And I'm like, hilarious, you guys. I don't know what I'm doing. I've never taken ballet in my life. And they're like, ballet three. And then they're-
But so how did you place into those classes?
Because that is where I've discovered my skill for learning by watching.
Like by mimicking.
And mimicking.
Got
it. Which kind of brings us back to the Andy thing.
Hell yeah.
Right.
If you show me what you want and how you want it to look, I will mirror it for you. Do I know what I'm doing at the time? No.
Interesting.
But that is something that I've always loved. So I'm in a ballet placement test in tights for the first time with... that are probably see-through because I don't know what kind I'm wearing. And I'm watching this amazing ballet teacher demonstrate placing everyone into the right thing. And I'm just following along and just mimicking and doing the arms and the legs. And I have no idea what I'm doing. I have terrible technique. And
there you go.
Yeah. And I was placed, which was awesome. And what was my favorite part about Cincinnati was that because I came in and as a quote-unquote dancer, I really took the other areas of theater and really focused on those, which is where I discovered like how to sing and how to act. And then I was treated as like an actor or a leading man, which was the most helpful thing of my 4 years of college.
Totally.
Definitely.
Totally.
To be like, I can do more than dance. But not that there's anything wrong with that because I'm all about ensembles because it's the...
But you have to have a lot of different
you need to
skills.
Have a lot of, yeah.
Have you covered on Broadway, right?
Yeah, I've covered in like pretty much every show but two.
Right.
And I've learned that it's not about being a good singer, dancer, and actor. It's like you need more now. And I learned that with Bandstand when I had to learn how to play the piano that I had never touched in my life. And again, I had a teacher come to my apartment. They gave me a piano and I learned by watching this woman with her fingers and memorized what I was doing.
Because you covered Corey.
Because I covered
played
Corey.
Donnie and
she said, this is going to be like you are... I just did this and talked about this in another interview, but she's like, it's going to be like you are speaking a monologue in German. You have no idea what you're saying, but you are going to say it perfectly with a perfect accent and nobody would know.
Right.
And I was like, cool. So I just thought of it as choreography for my fingers.
Exactly.
Memorized it and practiced over and over and over again. And yeah.
Oh, dude.
That's awesome.
So, I've never heard that story. That is so cool.
Her name was Whitney and she kind of changed my life. And I had lessons 3 times a week for months.
But then you got to play Cassie again.
And this was the real blessing is that I will never forget, it's one of the best days. You know, when you get a call that you're going to be on Broadway?
Yeah.
Like that call that you're
it's
like,
good,
I'm going to make, it's just, it's the best day. It's the best feeling. It is the best feeling. I was going apple picking. This was in 2018, September of 2000, end of September, 2018. And, I get a call from my agent being like, I'm hesitant to tell you this, but basically if this person who they've wanted for this Cassie in City Center, if she's going to pull out, it's in the next 2 hours and they're just going to offer it to you. And I remember going, I was in the car on our way to apple picking in Warwick. And I literally like went numb and I knew it was going to happen. Like I had this feeling, I was like, I think this is going to happen for me. And that's the only time I've always wanted to do the role again, only in New York. And I was like, well, my chances are none because they're not reviving it when I'm of age, when I can actually do it. I was like, cause I'm like getting a little long in the tooth. And so I was like, he said that. And I was just like, okay. And that night we went apple picking. I was thinking about it, but I kind of put it away. And that night I was making an apple pie and I got an email saying, here's your offer. And I immediately started crying. I couldn't even speak. I just took the phone and put it in Clyde's face, and I'm on my knees crying, and I'm like, I'm going to do it in New York City. Like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it at 36 years old. Like, I'm going to do it when I should be doing it. I know who this woman is now. Like, I've gone through it. I've gone being crazy, nuts, insecure, throwing myself on my bed, screaming. I've become a wife since the last time I've done it. I've become a mother. I've not worked for 3 years. I understand this business right. So much more, that it was such a gift to go back and do these, what, 5 performances. And it was, I actually don't know if anything will touch it. Like, that week of performing this role at City Center was, might always be like the ultimate of my career. Like, it was magical. And I'm so grateful to be able to get that gift again of playing the ultimate role for a female who is like, you gotta be a dancer.
And you gotta dance,
honey. To apply your voce, and you have to really know how to say those words. And I got to do it in front of New York City audiences, and it was amazing. It was amazing.
And there was a full-blown stop the show standing ovation after Music in the Mirror on the closing night performance.
I didn't even know.
I sat in the front row, cried like a little child, because it was one of the coolest things. I have like my top 5. And like, that was absolutely in my top 5 theatrical moments of my whole life. Cause I knew most of that story. I didn't realize that you had like, you guys got married on the tour. Like, I mean, this is amazing. Yeah. This is just so amazing.
I basically
to put the pieces
grew
together,
up.
But like, yeah.
Went through life in those, how long was it? 10 years? 10 years. It was a decade. Yeah. And yeah, that moment, I didn't even realize that people stood up when at the end of the show, he's like, hey, Tony Yazbek comes up and he goes, hey, standing O. And he gave me a hug. And I go, what? He goes, they all stood up for you. And I go, and I broke down crying. Cause I'm like, I didn't know. I just knew I'm trained to hold that pose. Bjork says, you do not break it until you start to hear the applause die. You stay there. And I just held it. And then it's funny because I'm in so much pain and I'm so fatigued from holding it that I didn't, I was also emotional because everyone just kept like clapping. So I was crying because I broke down because I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so emotional, but I'm actually in so much pain as well because
just
I hit
use
it so hard because it was my last time. And I'm like, this is the last time I'm doing this fucking dance. And I'm like, I'm going to kick it. So anyway, but it was the best. It was just the best moment. Best.
But I would tell him that the most important thing about this business is to don't be an asshole. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that.
Yeah,
on this.
Totally. Oh yeah.
Don't be an asshole. Be a good guy. Have fun and like, take advantage of all the amazing people you will meet in every show. Because that's my favorite part about this business is who I get to work with. Hands down. Yes, I love what I do, which is very, very cool and a big bonus.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, you have to wake up and go to work with people and do the same thing. And if you don't love everyone you're with, you don't have to love everyone. But if you don't treat these friendships and these opportunities with like an open heart and open mind, then it won't be as good.
That is so great.
Right.
But yeah.
That's my absolute favorite piece of advice too. Don't be an asshole.
And I think that it speaks volumes, like the level of success you've had and the eagerness that people have to get you into their show. It's not just because you're such a good dancer. It probably has a lot to do with the energy that you bring into the room.
Yeah,
I can feel it just kind of sitting here talking to you now, you know?
Thank you. I just think we all know this, but it is way more than talent.
Right. Yeah.
Sometimes it's not. More often than not, though, it is. And
you know what? I think that people don't get cast, like, I'm just having you say that, like, I've heard of people not get jobs because they're an asshole.
Yes.
Like that's like the stroke where like somebody says, you know, that's like the hard X through somebody's name. I'm not working with them because they're an asshole.
Right.
People will say like, oh, well, he's not maybe the greatest singer, but man, he's a good actor and we did this thing together and he's a good person. You know what? Let's bring him on board. Yeah. You know, like they're more likely to give you a chance if your talent isn't maybe up to stay. Yes. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
But like if you're a jerk, you're done.
Oh, don't change.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I love that.
No, I don't change. I am no different than I was when I was 16. So I'm very happy. I've kept true. I'm older and maybe a little bit more tired, but I would say keep exactly what you're doing because it's the right thing. Honestly.
Oh man. That's the best.
Mm-hmm. It's so true. I would not change a thing. When I was 16, I had just come back the summer. I had done Broadway Theater Project. It was 98 and I learned so much, but it was my first like introduction to like real like Broadway music theater. Where I had like Anne Reinking teaching me and Dailese Crowman teaching me and all these amazing Gregory Hines. I had a tap class with Gregory Hines. I had all these people and
what?
Yeah. Yeah. It was an amazing summer for me. I only did 1 year of Broadway Theater Project, but it was so influential, like the most influential. And I came back to my ballet school and I taught everybody everything I learned. And I was still nuts. I was still myself. I was still breaking the borders of like, you know, I was like the rogue ballerina in my ballet company, but I was just like, I want to do Broadway, 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 Broadway. And I wanted to be friends with everybody. I'm still who I am. I'm still a 16-year-old, just with a little bit more experience. And I'm a little bit more tired because of my son. But
I'd love that.
I literally would definitely say, don't change. You're on the right path.
Also,
Steak and Cheese
Productions is what Joe and I were talking about. That's what we want to call our.
We were sitting and eating.
We said it at the same time.
We were talking about it in Boston, and it was like the same question. Like, you know, I want to make stuff. And I was like, Max, let's start a production company and let's call it Steak and Cheese Productions because we were probably eating steak and cheese at the time. So we're going to call it Steak and Cheese Productions. And then you texted me when you incorporated, when you like, you started your company and you were like, you know, a lot of actors incorporate on Broadway. It's this whole thing because of taxes or whatever. And so Max was like, going to start a company. And he was like, what should I call it? And I was like, you should call it Steak and Cheese Productions.
And I reached out and was like, is this available? Is Steak and Cheese Production available? And is blank available? Which she came back with, they're both available. And I texted Joe, I'm like, it's available.
Yeah, so we can start it.
we're going to start it
down the road.
Yeah. Max. No content ideas, just a great name.
Just a great name for a production company.
Steak and Cheese Productions present.
Exactly, exactly.
Just goofball comedies for years.
Exactly.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
God, I love you.
I'm excited.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Have great
Max.
Shows today.
Yeah.
Thank you for talking with us.
I'll tell everybody. Say hi. Thank you.
Robin, I love you.
I love you.
I miss you. Thank you for talking to us.
Thank you for talking to us. This was so fun.
Oh, this was a treat to my, what is it? Tuesday?
What day is it?
Tuesday. It's a Shmoonimilsyas. It's a Smyandias day.
Yes.
In the month of Myal.
Thank you for listening to Guys Who Like Musicals. We are produced by Dan Tracy and Joe Carroll, your hosts. You can find us on Instagram at Guys Who Like Musicals or on Twitter at Musical Guys. For more information about us or our show, please visit our new website at guyswholikemusicals.com. You can find our merch store, our Patreon page, and more. Thanks for listening.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Suffs has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.